Okay, so have you ever kind of wished you could just like schedule your baby's arrival? You know, like you book a flight or make a dinner reservation. I bet that thought's crossed a lot of expectant parents' minds.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's kind of the idea behind this whole arrive trial thing we're diving into today.
Okay.
This like massive research project wanted to see if inducing labor at 39 weeks could actually mean better outcomes for moms and babies.
You're right, and it's definitely got people talking, especially with C-section rates going up.
Yeah.
Everyone's hoping for a little more predictability with childbirth, right? So that this ARRIVE trial, it was a big deal.
Yeah, they weren't messing around with the scale of this thing.
Right.
Over 22,000 women, at least at first.
Wow.
Although it looks like around 6,106 actually participated.
Yeah.
Still, though, that's huge for a study.
It is.
So walk us through it. What'd they actually do in this ARRIVE trial?
Okay, so they took this big group of first-time moms, all low-risk pregnancies,
Okay.
split them randomly into two groups.
All right.
One group got induced at 39 weeks, no matter whether labor had started naturally or not. The other group, they waited.
Interesting.
Yeah, they could go into labor on their own, be induced later if they had to, or even choose induction after 40 weeks and 5 days.
So it was a real head-to-head, early induction versus waiting it out.
Exactly.
And what were the researchers hoping to find? Like, what was the big question?
The main thing they wanted to know was if inducing at 39 weeks would mean fewer deaths or serious problems for the babies. That was the
All
focus.
right, cut to the chase. What did they discover?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. Inducing at 39 weeks, it didn't really reduce those complications for babies.
So not the magic solution then.
Not quite.
It seems like everyone wants to find ways to make birth safer, so I bet this was a pretty big deal.
Oh, absolutely. It shows how important these big trials are. We can't just guess, right? We need data. Solid data.
And speaking of the data, you mentioned over 22,000 women were eligible, but only around 6,000 actually participated. That's a
Yeah.
lot of people saying no thanks.
It
Why
is.
do you think that was?
That's a great question. And it could tell us something about what the study found, you know?
Okay.
Like maybe there's some things it couldn't quite capture.
Interesting.
The info you sent mentioned a few reasons people opted out. Seems like personal preference played a big role.
Yeah, it's like a lot of women probably just felt strongly about waiting for labor to start naturally.
Absolutely.
It's a big deal to choose induction, right? Those are medical interventions we're talking about.
Exactly. And the study used things like, you know, those cervical ripening agents,
Oh, right. Or
the synthetic oxytocin, even Foley catheters sometimes, just to get labor going.
yeah.
Not exactly stuff everyone's going to be super comfortable with, you know?
For sure. Any medical intervention, there's going to be risks,
Yeah.
side effects, and you got to weigh those against the benefits.
Exactly.
Right.
Weigh those risks and benefits. And for a lot of women, maybe those interventions, they just felt a little riskier than any possible benefit from the study, you know?
Yeah, totally. And that makes sense. Birth is such a personal thing. One size fits all doesn't really work.
Nope, not at all.
But didn't the ARRIVE trial find at least one good thing about early induction? Something about C-sections being less likely.
Yeah, you're right. That's where it gets a little tricky.
Okay.
They did see a slightly lower C-section rate in the group that was induced at 39 weeks
Interesting.
compared to the group that waited for labor to just happen naturally.
So fewer C-sections with early induction. On the surface, that sounds like a win, right?
Yeah, at first glance, it does seem that way, and I
Okay.
get it. A lot of women are worried about C-sections,
Double leap.
but there are a couple of things to remember about that finding.
Right, hit me with the caveats.
Okay, so first, the difference in those C-section rates between the groups, it was statistically significant, but it wasn't huge E.
Okay.
More importantly, though, we got to remember where this trial happened. These were mostly hospitals, right?
Okay, yeah.
With doctors calling the shots.
So are you saying the actual place where the births were happening, like the environment itself, maybe that had something to do with the results they saw?
That's exactly what I'm saying. They focused on hospitals that could stick to a really specific plan to make sure everything was consistent for the research.
Got it. Makes sense for a study.
Right, but that doesn't always match up with how birth goes down in other settings, you know?
That's a really good point. We're talking about hospital births here. But what about places where they don't jump into medical stuff as quickly? Like, what about midwife-led care? You mentioned earlier that midwives tend to have way lower C-section rates anyway.
Right. Midwives are amazing. They've got those C-section rates down to like 5-6% for home births and births at birthing centers. Seriously, That's so much lower than hospitals.
Huge difference.
And they're not usually inducing at 39 weeks, are they?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
It's not their standard thing.
Sure.
Midwives, they're all about supporting how labor is supposed to work naturally, you know? Mm-hmm. They save the interventions for when they're really medically needed.
Which kind of highlights that there are other ways to reduce C-section risks, right? I mean, this ARRIVE trial, it was all about when you have the baby.
Yeah.
But clearly that's not the only thing that matters.
Not at all. This study was helpful, but there are other things that work too, things that we already have evidence for.
So like what else can make a difference?
Continuous labor support, for one.
Okay, like having a doula. Exactly. Having that doula there, or someone else who can give the mom support emotionally and physically, that alone can drop C-section rates by a whopping 25%.
25%? Seriously?
Seriously.
Wow. I mean, that's way bigger than the difference they saw with induction in the ARRIVE trial.
Right.
So it's not just about when you have the baby, but also what kind of care you're getting during labor.
That's it. Birth is just, it's complicated, you know? So many factors. We can't just boil it all down to one thing, like induction at 39 weeks.
So what's the takeaway then? It's not as simple as everyone should induce at 39 weeks. Or no one should.
Nope, definitely not. It's about having these conversations, these thoughtful, personal conversations about what's best for each person.
What would you say someone should ask their doctor or midwife if they're thinking about induction, even after learning about this study?
That is such a good question. It really boils down to making good decisions, well-informed decisions. Mm. Talk to your provider. Be open about what you want, what's important to you, and anything you're worried about.
So, for example, would it be okay for someone to be like, hey, I really don't want a C-section if I can avoid it, but I'm not sure about those cervical ripening drugs. What are my options? Like, is that being direct enough?
Yes. Exactly. And don't forget to ask about their specific protocols for induction. You know, the ACOG guidelines you mentioned earlier.
Oh, right. And for those who don't know, ACOG is the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists.
Right.
They're the ones who set the standards for women's healthcare here in the U.S.
Exactly.
So what do they say about induction?
They basically say that it's reasonable to offer elective induction at 39 weeks, but the decision should always come down to the patient's values, preferences, and what's going on with their pregnancy. They're big on having a clear plan for when inductions don't go as planned, you know?
Oh, you mean so it doesn't automatically end in a C-section unless it really medically has to?
Exactly. It's all about advocating for yourself, being a part of those decisions. Your voice matters.
It sounds like the big takeaways here are talk to your provider, know your options, and don't be afraid to speak up for the kind of birth experience you want. It really makes you realize how important it is to be informed, you know, especially with something as personal as giving birth. This whole ARRIVE trial thing has really got people thinking, haven't it?
For sure. It's challenged some of those ideas people had about birth, reminded everyone that there's no one right way to do it. You know, what really stood out to me was how this research kind of pushes us to look beyond just C-section rates.
Oh, interesting. What do you mean?
Well, instead of just trying to prevent C-sections, maybe we should focus on supporting all the different ways women experience labor and birth.
I like that. What if instead of just trying to stop one outcome, we made sure women had what they needed to have the birth they want?
Exactly.
Home birth, hospital birth, no interventions, all the pain meds, whatever feels right for them. It's about having those choices.
Yes, having those choices and being able to make them knowing what's what. That's what matters.
This has been such an interesting deep dive. It's challenged what we thought we knew, shown us there are other ways to approach things. But most importantly, I think it's gotten us all thinking about how to support women in making those informed choices about their births.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Respect, support, and really listening to what each woman wants. That's what it's all about.
Well said. And on that note, we'll leave you with this thought. What if, instead of just numbers, we also measured a successful birth by how the mother and family felt about it? Something to think about as you go through your own journey into parenthood. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone. We'll catch you next time.